When I went through a particularly brutal corporate restructure in 2014, I decided that would be my last restructure. I didn't quite know how I was going to leave, but over the next 10 years, that intent became a reality, and I am now on a conscious break from work. I'm taking time to reflect, rejuvenate, and reinvent. I'm pursuing my own interests and experimenting with how I might want to spend my time into the future. Welcome to a new series of Unchained podcasts. In the next couple of episodes, I'll be talking to people who have taken breaks from work for various reasons. I want to understand why they did it, what they did in their breaks, and what they learned from the experience. Today in the studio, I have Fatima Collins. Nice to see you again, Fatima.
Hi, Petra. Lovely seeing you again.
Okay, I know you took a couple of constructive breaks from work. So before we get into that, could you please just introduce yourself and tell me what you're currently doing?
Sure. So I'm Fatima Collins. I currently work as the regional head for Women in Mining at a mining company. This is my fourth career change. And through my story, I'd like to share why and how I took breaks and how it led to something more meaningful every single time.
So why didn't we get into that? So why did you take breaks and how did it all come about?
So I think we take breaks for different reasons. And I like what you said when you just started. You said intention. And sometimes it's intent and sometimes it's just the way it happens. So I took breaks for various reasons. And I remember the first break I took was sort of 98, 99, just at the very, very beginning of my career. I just started off as a microbiologist. I was working in a laboratory in Johannesburg, and then I decided I want to travel, and South Africa and UK had that 2-year working visa option. So I worked and traveled, but I took a conscious break from building my career. It was at a stage where you sort of in your early 20s, all your friends are getting their dream jobs or doing their articles or getting into their careers, studying further. I felt it was a very brave thing to do, you know, to say, I'm going to take these 2 years and I'm going to do whatever work I get and travel. The intent is not to further my career. So it was a break from actually growing my career. And it was nerve-wracking because universities were offering me positions for my master's and my honors degrees and companies were approaching me for long-term work. And people said, you know, you can take holidays. You can work and take holidays, but you don't need to take time off and go traveling. Your career will suffer. I think it was the best decision, Petru. It's as much as we're always pushing for time and rushing. 25 years later, I can say it all works out the way it does. And it's also your intent. Did I want to be a tourist in those countries or did I want to be a traveler? And for me, it was about introspection, understanding this big world I'm entering into now, post-university, post-working for a year or two. I'm going to be part of this world. Do I understand it? Do I just become another cog in the wheel? So that was my first sabbatical, 98 to 2000. And I did work because I needed to fund these travels. So from time to time, I did work in my professional capacity. However, I took a break from the rat race. I took a break from building a career. But and even then, I needed to remind myself that it's my own race, you know. And I think you may know what that feels like because you look at your colleagues and you think, oh my God, they're doing so much better. I'm 2 years behind them. Or my friends are, you know, they've got so much money now because they've saved up all this money and I've just traveled. But I think what was key for me is to understand whose race you're running. Stay in your lane and be clear about what expectations you want from this period. Post that, I came back into the world of work. I had some clarity. And then I took another sabbatical in 2008, and that was to study full time. And I would not have gotten there if I didn't understand who I am, what I want, or where I'd like to position my life. That helped again. And then later in life, I took another, about a 6-month sabbatical, trying to understand what sort of work I'd like to do. I found the broader area, but I just needed to spend time understanding what does meaningful work mean to me. And the last time I took a sabbatical was for unfortunate reasons, COVID-19 pandemic. I lost many people close to me. And so I just needed a time to grieve. I wasn't sure that I could offer the world of work anything when I was so broken. And I had to build myself up again. And once that period was over, you know, I slowly re-entered the world of work, much stronger for it.
So it sounds like you took, each time you took, you spoke about four breaks, it was for a different reason. But at the same time, it sounded like it was deeply introspective. Every single one of those was a period of self-reflection and introspection and figuring things out in that frame of mind, you know, at that specific age. Yeah. Before you took any one of these breaks, what did you think it was going to be like? Okay, so you always have a fantasy of, I'm going to take this break and this is how I'm going to spend my time. And there's like a, you know, you've got this whole fantasy you've mapped out of what your break's going to be like. So what was the actual difference between what you fantasized it was going to be like and what it actually was like?
I suppose I didn't plan for the internal turmoil from time to time. You know, because I was so deeply introspective, introspection's not easy. And I probably didn't think about that. I also, over the time, learned to reevaluate and redevelop a relationship with money. Because in my initial years, I believed money came from a job. Whereas money is, in fact, an energy and you attract it or you repel it. And it was learning that relationship. A lot of people associate their purpose and their identity with what they do. And I needed to be very clear that I am not my job. I am not a job. So understanding that dynamic for myself and defining myself separate from the work that I do. So while the fantasy part, a lot of it was true, it was fantastic, you know, backpacking and traveling the world and all of that. It was really hard when I then saw people that could afford more things that I could afford. You know, you're in your 20s, there's all these things you still need to gain, I guess. And also gave me a different relationship with being and doing versus, you know, being versus doing, collecting memories versus collecting things. And had I not done that, I wouldn't have understood what is important to me.
I think it's quite different taking a gap year, because I'm sort of seeing my break as a gap year for grown-ups, you know. I think it's quite different taking a gap year or a time off when you're younger, although I think you totally should do it. When you're younger, because then you've got the energy to climb up the mountains and do everything you want to do, versus taking a break when you're a bit older. And it might be, I don't know if it was for you more instinctive when you were younger, but then more conscious later taking the break, you know. You sort of know you have to do something, but then later on you go, well, I'd like to use this time to think and redesign who I want to be and how I want to be in the world.
Absolutely. It's so liberating to do it when you're older, because you have an idea of who you are already, and then you have the resources to actually indulge yourself, for lack of a better word. I often use the Maslow's hierarchy of needs to describe where I am in life now, because, you know, at the bottom of the pyramid is your basic needs, your food, your shelter, your protection, etc., etc. And as you come to the peak of that pyramid, it's self-actualization. And at this stage in our lives, our basic needs have been met. So all we have to do, you know, unless you've got children that you're still raising, you still have to provide for them. But if you're on your own like I am, it's all about self-actualization now. And what a pleasure.
Yeah, I think it's a real privilege and a blessing to be able to do this. I couldn't take a break when I was in my early career. There was just no way to do it. So directly from school to university to work, and then you've got all these expectations from others, you know, on how you should be succeeding and what you should be doing and how you're climbing the corporate ladder and all of that. And I think eventually you get to a point when you go, like, I love what you were saying around whose race is this, you know, because you sort of feel like you're competing against other people, but what are you competing for? To spend less time with your family, you know. I don't know actually what you're competing for at that point in time. And you get to a point, I think, where you go, is this how I want to spend the rest of my life? Or the rest of my career, in any case. I just remember looking around and seeing what people were doing in the office and going, I don't actually want to do that stuff anymore. I now want to spend my time in a different way and do work that's more meaningful. And you actually touched on that earlier around finding meaning and purpose in what you were doing. So could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I grew up in south of Johannesburg, a place called Lenasia, in the heart of apartheid. So as you know how apartheid South Africa was designed, all we knew was the communities in which we lived. So everybody in the Indian community became a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, an accountant, or an engineer, and or an entrepreneur. Except for that, we weren't really exposed to different careers. So when I finished school, I did a BSc degree. And I was enjoying the sciences. It enabled me to work in South Africa, work abroad in laboratories, enabled my travels. Came back to South Africa and was still in that filtration microbiology, biochemistry field. But it wasn't fulfilling. And I didn't know what it is that I wanted to do. I went back to university, studied part-time, moved to Bombay, worked in corporate banking for a while there. Still, wasn't what I thought it would give me. Then I took the sabbatical and I studied full-time for 1 year. I did my MBA at UCT and things shifted for me. I think that sabbatical was one of the greatest gifts I gave myself because post that, I went into the development sector and I've done various things in development, so socioeconomic development, local economic development, and I found work incredibly meaningful. It was like I came back to myself, and I had a good 20 years ahead of me in terms of work, of my work life, 20, 30 years ahead of me. So that 1 year gave me job satisfaction for the rest of my working career.
I think that's a good payoff, eh? Yeah.
It's a good payoff, and also the confidence to understand that you can do anything whenever you want to, you know. Fortune favors the brave, as they say. So you just need to just do it and everything will fall in place. Like you said at the beginning, it's all about intention. And so now, you know, every bit of work I do is meaningful. It doesn't even feel like work anymore.
Yeah, I think if you can get to that sweet spot where you're doing work, but it doesn't actually feel like work. I mean, I think we all want to get there. I was interested to know what does introspection look like for you? You know, so when you are deeply in introspective states, what does that look like for you?
So I'm also, together with a with my career, I'm also a yoga practitioner. I studied Hatha yoga and I teach from time to time. But I started the meditation introspective journey about 20 odd years ago. And I find that for me, working with somebody really closely on this journey has been very helpful. I work with someone for the last 20 years, understanding myself, understanding my patterns, understanding my triggers. Where am I now? Where would I like to get to? What does contentment look like for me? What does manifestation look like for me? How do I, with the universe, co-create the life I'm looking to lead instead of just stumbling upon it day after day? For me, I find it important working with someone on this journey because, you know, often when we have these discussions, she'll come back and say, but remember how far you've come because introspection and this journey to self-actualization is not linear. You know, it sort of goes up and down and sometimes you feel like you're getting nowhere, but working with somebody helps you stay your course and helps you realign for those days that you falter. So for me, introspection looks like finding a path to a more peaceful life and creating a life I want as opposed to living a life that I don't like.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying something really interesting in terms of working with somebody because I've had a tremendous benefit from working with a series of coaches, you know, son from early career through to into executive, and they see things that you can't see. You know, and they also help you to not believe your own stories you're telling yourself and getting into your own way. It's amazing to me that you've been working with the same person for 20 years. You know, I mean, that person will know exactly the type of stories you're telling yourself. I completely believe in coaches for everything from training through to introspection through to getting ahead in your career. I think it's really important to have that sort of support network or people you can actually draw upon.
Yeah. The journey of introspection in itself is lonely. The journey of a sabbatical in itself is lonely. Pre-COVID especially, you wake up, you go to an office, you are surrounded by colleagues. Now when you take a sabbatical, that immediately falls away. So to have somebody handhold you to some extent through this process, when you're silent and when you on your sabbatical, a lot more will come up because you're not filling your days with emails and conference calls. So when that does come up and you have somebody you trust on the journey, I think you get a lot more traction on your path.
For your sabbaticals, any one of them, did you have a plan for what you wanted to do? I mean, you were like, I'm going to take 6 months off. For the degree, definitely, you have your days filled up with MBA.
Yes.
But for the others, did you have a plan for what you wanted to do? Or did you sort of let it emerge as it was happening? You know, because I know you also need to leave time for a bit of boredom and so that you can get curious about things and let things emerge for themselves. But what was your plan? You're going to do this and then you stuck to the plan.
So in my early days, when I took my first sabbatical, I had absolutely had a plan. You know, 23 years old, you've got a plan for your whole life. That was to backpack, to live in London, work a little and backpack. So that was the plan. And for most of it, the beauty came in those moments when I wasn't actually backpacking. You know, it was in the moments I met people that changed my life forever. It was in those moments where I was given a book that changed my perspective forever. And I find that I would have been so much less of who I am now if it wasn't for those 2 years. It taught me self-reliance because you're now in a foreign country on your own. It taught me empathy. It accelerated my EQ. And, you know, there were love stories dispersed here and there that teach you about your own growth, etc. So while I did have a plan for that, the learnings came in unplanned moments. And then, of course, my last sabbatical when I was just immersed in grief. I didn't have any plan. That was just literally survival, just trying to get through the day.
I've just finished a book called Wintering by Catherine May. I don't know if you've read it. And that is specifically a book around when you retreat into recovery after a very difficult period of time. And she describes it beautifully in terms of even looking at nature. In nature, nature retreats for it to recover. While it looks like it's winter outside, all the little buds are starting to grow anyway. And it was just such a beautiful analogy for sometimes beautiful. People need to winter as well. Sometimes you need to just be able to retreat and recover and grieve and have time for just nurturing yourself.
It's exactly that. You know, I felt like I was depleted completely. And to build myself up, that was that sabbatical, purely making my way back to myself. And I joined the workforce before I was fully back to myself because I feel like at that point, being back as part of the workforce helped me as well. But those few months before that, I just needed to be with myself.
And that's completely understandable. I was wondering, you mentioned going back into the workforce. So you did that four times. You four times went back into the workforce. How was that for you? And how did you prepare yourself for that or mentally prepare yourself for going back into the workforce? And how did people receive you?
So I think post-MBA, it was easier because I now understood what I'd like to do in terms of work. Finding meaningful work. So the issue about doing what I love was exciting. Coming back to the workforce after taking a sabbatical for studying is always easy because you're almost able to explain yourself better. That was much easier. It was a career shift. It was an explanation. Post that I had a short break and, that was a bit harder. You know, it's almost like we're still stuck in that world where people just work and nobody understands a break. But I think that when you spend enough time introspecting and co-creating the life you want, you attract the circumstances that sort of fit into what you expect of life. So although it was a little harder, it was still easy enough to join. And because I'd had a break, I came back with a clear mind. I had the energy to take this on. So it was very, very exciting. What I found with my last sabbatical, I joined the workforce and I feel like I was so nervous. I wasn't sure. Was I done with my grieving? I didn't understand that grieving might be a lifetime experience. You know, I was looking for some end date to it. But joining the workforce helped me find that balance between keeping busy and appreciating what's just happened through COVID. That was probably a little harder, you know, just Because there was a lot of talking about it. Oh, what were you doing? Why were you on a break? What happened? And so it was talking about it. But in that, there was healing as well.
I read somewhere about somebody who took a sabbatical and they tried to, when they got back into work, tried to keep that sabbatical mindset still with them. Because for me, being in the sabbatical, I'm finding that I'm getting curious about things again. My creativity is starting to come alive again. You know, I'm not this corporate person or animal anymore. I'm a different type of person now, which is exactly what I wanted to get out of this sabbatical. And I was wondering, how do you keep that sabbatical mindset, the lessons that you've learned from the sabbatical still with you and keep going back to them? Is there a way that you try and keep that mindset?
So I try and design my day on through these various sabbaticals. I identified four or five things that are meaningful for my existence. So in a day, I try and ensure that I have some touch points with those things. Of course, there's days where, as you know, you just corporate just runs away with you. If I have two or more of those kind of days, I then have to sit and reevaluate my life. So I try and make sure that in each day I touch bases with, so for example, my morning starts with my morning prayer and a morning meditation. And then I'm Muslim, we pray five times a day. So those are my touch points. I need to have some interaction with certain people. And so I make sure I have those. And then there's exercise. So, it's a blend of social, community, family, prayer, and exercise. I know I'm derailing when I have days where there's only work and none of that or very little of that. And then I pull it back. You know, I excuse myself from meetings if it's prayer time. I say I'll be a bit late on a deadline because I have another engagement. So I just pull it back and nobody's ever suffered as a result of that.
Yeah, it's almost like you rediscover what are the things that you need to be doing to be a whole and healthy human being? And when you're on sabbatical, you discover those things and you do them, like you do your exercise and your meditation, make sure you're eating healthy food, connecting with friends, all of those sort of things. And then it's almost trying to hold on to that, those core yes. things that keep you healthy and connected, even when you go back into the workplace, or find a way of being in the world that helps you to be able to do those things. You know, I was like, I want to be in the world in a different way. I don't want to be in the world as this corporate person. I want to be in the world. And people were like, that sounds fantastic, but what are you going to be doing?
<That's> Why is it always yeah, about
exactly.
the doing?
It's just about the being, you know, which I had to also figure out how to be instead of do. So would you do it again? Are you going to take another sabbatical, and what would you do differently next time?
So yes, absolutely. I want to write some more. You know, I write a little. I used to blog. I read a lot. So definitely take another sabbatical and travel and write. A lot of my sabbaticals are linked to traveling. And I think with remote working, that is such a pleasure because you don't need to be in one place to do the work you love and also have a kind of sabbatical mindset because you're not stuck in an office. Even if you're stuck in Joburg, you could work out of a coffee shop, you could work out of a park, and it gives you that feeling of a sabbatical.
Yeah, so you're planning to take another one, or don't you want to say?
Yes.
Because maybe your employer hears you, you're going to go again.
No, of course. Well, not in the near future, but I definitely would love to take another one. And spend time traveling and writing and rediscovering a passion. I've got so much to do where I am right now, but a lot of what I do is also about teaching people how to be, even in the workspace, to understand that you can do your job and be true to yourself. And I think the more we have that in our workspaces, the more harmony we'll bring into our workspaces. Because we'll be chasing less and being more present.
It is quite interesting to be in this space, yeah. To be in this this conscious sabbatical space. And like you said earlier, just the first thing to do is to disentangle yourself from the job that you were doing. It's a completely different thing than, you know, you can't have your whole identity entangled up into a job. And that's the first thing that I had to learn, is to let go of that identity and build the identity that I can be comfortable with for the rest of my life.
I love that. What I found was, I learned that early in life. And so I'm one of the few people where my friends say to me, friends, like until recently, with it, but what is it that you do? What exactly is it that you do at this company or at work? And that for me was a win, because if people close to me didn't exactly know what I did, it meant that they weren't attached to what I do. Their relationship with me was about so many other things that they had to actually ask me, what is it that you actually do? You know, do you have a time for your sabbatical? Do you know how long you'll be on sabbatical for?
Yeah, I mean, my plan was to be off for a year, to give myself permission to not do any employer type work for a year, and to fill up the year with things that I've always wanted to do and things I'm curious about. And that's exactly what I'm doing at the moment. Of course, it's been difficult to sit still for too long, and this is why I'm doing this project as well. It's just to discover how others have experienced doing a sabbatical. And it's been interesting to reflect upon all of that. So yeah, officially it's a year, and then we'll see what happens after that. At the moment, I'm experimenting on what I would like to do for the rest of my life.
That's fantastic. What a privilege.
Yeah, no, definitely it is. But it is difficult to explain to people what it is you're doing, you know, because people get so caught up in the busyness of life and climbing and the whole rat race, you know, and when you're in it, you can't actually see that you're trapped in it. You know, then once you're outside of it, you can go, okay, well, actually I can think about what I want to do now. But it's not often that you get an opportunity to be able to do it. Yeah.
It's also an opportunity to surround yourself with more people that think mm-hmm. like you. And that's nice, because then you won't be explaining, you know. You'll just be attracting people that are on the same journey as you
are. Exactly, yes. Thank you so much. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Thank you. You too.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.